Good afternoon. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also wishing one and all a very blessed New Year. How do we experience or find eternity's values on this very temporal and definitely not eternal world? What are some of the temporal values that can grip our hearts, that can cause us to turn our service unto the Lord into wood, hay, and stubble? We have some temporal values that we have learned while in school. Try our best to be number one, to be seen by men as smart and clever, which means man-pleasing. What is wrong with pleasing men? Is this an eternal value, or is it a temporal value? If children were to study hard in order to gain the approval of mom and dad, would that be a temporary value, or would that be an eternal value? Well, I believe it will be an eternal value if your parents do not die, and their approval of you remains forever, isn't it? But if they die, their approval of you will cease to exist because they no longer exist. And therefore, if you study hard in school in order to gain the approval of mom and dad, that would be a temporary value and not eternal. If you are motivated by the accumulation of money and you work very hard to increase your bank account to get yourself out of a very difficult and very, very poor life, is that a temporary value or an eternal value? Well, if money is going to be forever, then it will be eternal. But we know that money in itself, even today, keeps fluctuating in its value. That in itself tells us that it cannot be eternal. And as long as that society remains, that currency that the society uses will have value. But the moment the society ends, that value disappears. I came from a very rich family. I was told by my mom and dad that my grandparents, during the Second World War, they wanted to flee, and they had a lot of gold, and they could not carry the gold with them as they flee from the Japanese. They believe in all sincerity that the Japanese government will one day rule this part of the world, Singapore and Malaysia. And so they converted all their gold into the Japanese banana money. And so they thought they had a good deal. And so they fled for safety, hoping to return one day when the war ends. But you know the outcome. The British repelled the Japanese from Malaysia and Singapore. And the Japanese lost the war. What happened to the banana money in terms of millions of dollars that my grandparents have converted to? You know anyone in that period of time would want to help my grandparents and change it back to gold and buy from them with gold all the banana money? Obviously not. They lost everything, in other words. All the gold turned to nothing, because the banana money was only good if the Japanese remain in this part of the world. So the currency money in itself, by nature, tells us that the value is very temporal. So why is it that we are motivated by our salary and bonuses, and they make us very happy and contented when we receive them at the end of every year? It gives us a smile to see this bank account of ours increased in value. And then we put our trust in it even worse. So again, it is not eternal, it's temporary, and yet that grip us, grip many parents' hearts, and we pass it on to our children. And that is the sad tragedy. It doesn't end with our foolishness. Our children continue our foolishness. And we call ourselves Christians in the process. That's why this topic, a burden from a Truth BP Church session leaders, to help us reflect upon the year 2023, which we cannot relive, as we are now literally on the brink of entering to a new year, hoping that perhaps this new year will be better than the old year in terms of living with eternity's values in view, in front of us, right in front of our eyes, that we may not take our eyes off these eternal values and replace them with temporal values. All things earthly, including the accolades and the praises of man with all its glitter and awards. Money matters, they're all temporal. But then some of you might be thinking, well, diamonds are forever. Yeah, you're right. I think there's a song that sings about diamonds are forever, isn't it? They cannot be destroyed. And so maybe some of you are hoarding or buying or investing in a lot of all these expensive watches because they only increase in value. All these expensive watches with all their amazing brands. And then of course all the gems and the stones with all its multifaceted colors. And diamond in particular, how it glitters and how it shines under the bright light or this kind of light. Are they not eternal? Well, the Bible says, as what the verse says here, with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, the elements means what? Everything that is made out of this earth will be dissolved, including all our high-rise buildings, all our beautiful structure and bridges and so on. All will be destroyed. Not a single item will be left standing in the new heaven and new earth before the millennium begins. So everything that we touch and handle and do on this earth will have this temporal value. And so whatever the world tells you and instill in your heart and your mind as your motive for diligence, for hard work, for toiling, it's deception, it's delusion, it's temporal. Then how do we live with eternity's values in view? Because what exactly are they? Well, we thank God the Bible described it for us in verse 11, the last part, that ye ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. That means the things that you do at face value, that is visible to the naked eyes, may appear exactly the same like everybody else. But it's the motive behind it that is in the spiritual realm that the world cannot see, that the naked eyes of human beings cannot see. Only God can see, and only you will know. Holy conversation and godliness. That's the key. And that is your life as a whole. It's not just the action that you do. It's your whole being that is the beginning of being able to do things that will have eternal value. And so if you think that you are living alive right now, throughout the past year, 364 days and a half, with eternity's values in view, praise the Lord. You have done well. The question is, are you certain? This passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 14, gives us three tests to help us evaluate whether we are truly living with eternity's values in view or not. And we need to have all three tests passed in order for us to have that certainty. And if you have, hold on to that life into the new year. If you do not have any one of these aspects, fix it. Because if any one of them is missing, the other two will be jeopardized. It will be temporary. You're going to lose it along life's journey. You and I need to have all three. And once you and I have all these three intact, then you are assured, according to Scripture, that your life has been lived with eternity's values in view. The first test is found in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, that means all the fundamentals, the foundation and all the things, the constituents, the things that made up this world, will melt with fervent heat. That means there is nothing that will not be destroyed. And the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. So the first test is, do you have a mental preparedness of the end of the world? Your mind must now look at this world with this pair of spectacles. That when you look at the cityscape of Singapore, or New York, or any first world country, the cities that you see either on pictures or on internet, that they all will disappear. They all will melt with fervent heat, just like you see a candle melting away with time. Not a single building will stand. The Lord will not permit it before the millennium begins. And at the end of the millennium, God says, I'm going to destroy this present heaven and earth. Just as I created it out of nothing, I will turn it back to nothing. That is, if there is such a word, uncreate. Do you have this mental preparedness as you go to school? That when you look at your school, when you look at your studies, everything, that it will all become nothing one day. Now, if you understand it with that perspective in mind, you can end up a very, very discouraged person. I think we used to have a member, I have not seen him for some time, who had this understanding. And so he asked me a few times, then what is the point of working hard? What is the point of being an engineer and design this bridge or this building? Because they are all going to be dissolved and destroyed anyway. He struggled with a motivation to wake up every morning to go to work. If this is how you feel, then you have to correct that understanding, because that's not what this text wants us to understand. This mental preparedness is to see this world with God's eyes. This is a world of sin. Every building is touched by sinful man in its creation, and therefore it is stained by sin. And God, in his infinite wisdom, will never allow anything that man has built with his sinful hands stained by sin to remain. That's why in Isaiah 65 verse 17, the millennium kingdom is also called a new heaven and a new earth. In contrast to the Revelation 21 verse 1, 2 and 3, the new heaven and new earth of that chapter in Revelation 21 is our brand new eternal home of the new heaven and new earth, unlike the new heaven and new earth of Isaiah 65, where there will still be animals, the serpent still eating dust, and if anyone were to die during the millennium at the age of 100, he will be seen as a child. Very different in its description concerning the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21, where there is no night, no sun, only day, and the glory of God will be the light thereof. Very different. But whatever it is that you and I see today, touched and handled by these sin-stained hands, will melt away and be dissolved. Then how can I, as a child of God, turn what I do that has this temporal value that will be destroyed, turn into something that has eternal value? When you do it for the Lord, when your motive for studying is the love for your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are studying hard for Jesus' sake, not to please mom and dad, because the moment mom and dad is not watching, you're not going to study hard. You study hard because you are a child of God. And God watches over your study. You don't cheat. You don't cut corners. You work hard, whether mom and dad is watching, whatever the outcome, whatever the result, you trust in the Lord to take care of it, knowing that the Lord will give you the best result that will help you grow in faith and draw you closer to Him in trust and in prayer. And that may include failures. You study hard, but as you still fail. That's how the Lord will teach you to pray and trust Him even more. And to learn this precious lesson as a student is priceless. Because in life there will be many, many more failures. And how many people have allowed failures to jeopardize and turn them into depression? Because they think that they must only succeed. They don't want to lose face. But once you learn this precious lesson, that failures in inverted commas in temporal things is not equal to failures in spiritual things, eternal things. Don't confuse the two. Sure, if you are lazy, you do not work hard, by all means, that is a transgression. Not because of the failure, because of your laziness. But if you have been diligent and you have been working hard and you have been trying your best with much prayer, and then you still fail in the eyes of man on pen and paper. But as far as God is concerned, you have passed with flying colors because you have prayed and trusted in the Lord before your studies, during your exam, and after. You continue to pray and live a holy life. You think we will not make mistakes? We are not perfect. We will make mistakes. We do not have perfect memory, and in a way, we do not want to have perfect memory, because you're going to remember all your wrongdoing and all your sin and all your terrible, terrible faults. Imagine that. That's why I thank God that we can forget things, especially in this sin-filled world. You do not want to have this gift of never forgetting things. That is a terrible, terrible, painful gift to have. Sure, you remember only good things and blessings, but you remember every slander, every person who said a wrong word to you, you cannot forget. You know how miserable you are. Every time you see that person, you have perfect memory. You remember all the wrongs and all the faults. Of course, all the good things as well, but usually the wrongs and all the faults are the ones that cripple us. That cripple and ruin our day, isn't it? Let your heart and your motive be the love of God constraining you as you serve. So that whatever the outcome, no matter how people may reciprocate or respond to your kindness, your goodness, your holiness, you will continue to love them in Christ. Bitterness will have no place in your heart, in your soul, because you will learn to forgive, you learn to forget, and you will continue to love, because you know love will cover a multitude of sin. So that even the things that you do, when you go to work constrained by the love of our Savior, that means your purpose is to be holy so that your sinful colleagues may see Christ in you and come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. You can turn your work into a spiritual, eternal value, because what you do for Christ constrained by God's love in your heart is eternal. Do you know that? Because you continue to do the same thing with the same motivation in heaven. In heaven, what do you think will be your motive? The love of God. With the same mind of Christ that you already have. Of course, the difference is right now it's far from perfect. But in heaven, in glory, it's perfection. That's how you can turn something mundane, something that is temporal in terms of your study, because all subjects that we study on earth will become and rendered null and void, because nobody will have bad teeth if you're a dentist. Nobody will fall sick if you're a doctor. Nobody will need you to build any houses. None of these things. Because if you even look at the millennium, everyone will build and live in their own home. There'll be no more economics like what we do today, where we will barter and change and use money and buy things and sell things. None of these things will exist in the millennium even. The Bible said that. How much more in the new heaven, new earth of eternity in Revelation 21. That's why check your motive, your mental preparedness, because the Bible tells us at any time that destruction of the world can take place. So don't ever, ever lose sight and think that, well, I have tomorrow to think about it. You do not have tomorrow. That's why the urgency is deliberately given to us. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It will happen suddenly when people least expect it. But if you know a thief is coming, your house will always be well protected and well guarded. And that's how God wants us to guard our heart and our mind and our soul. Don't procrastinate. If you have not been serving for the Lord, you have not been studying, you have not been working hard, constrained by the love of the Lord that can turn your temporal value into an eternal value, those days will not come back. But the new year can truly be a new year with a new motive. So for students, as you begin your school life in a few days' time, study hard with the love of God in your heart as a Christian. Of course, if you are not a believer, why do you not want to be a Christian if you have been in this church, having heard the gospel so many times of how God loved you and how Jesus Christ died for you? Believe in Him with all your heart and let the love of God be your only motive to study hard. And you do not need anyone to watch over your shoulder to be diligent, to study hard and to work hard, not just in your study, but to be helpful at home as well. When mama needs you to help with the housework, you are ever ready to do so with joy and with gladness, knowing how to discipline and balance your time well, when to have your help at home, your play time, and your study time, all very carefully balanced, and everything you do with much prayer, for you pray without ceasing. All these things would be the eternal blessing that will help you have this mental preparedness, ever ready to meet your Lord, because it's sudden. And as long as you do not see this world with this eyesight of being destroyed by God, the attraction is so real. So real. Just tune in your television tonight. Don't have to look too far. Orchard Road, Marina Bay Sands area. It is reported in the news that it will be very grand. There will be a lot of lights as they welcome the new year with drinking, merrymaking, indulging in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and of course, obviously, the pride of life, the pride of man. How great man is, how good Singapore is. That's how the world will look at this world as eternal. That's why they will do whatever it takes to keep it alive, as they say, right? Don't use plastic bags, climate change, save the world, watch the ozone, use electric cars, put solar panels on your rooftops, all these things, because as far as they are concerned, this world is all that they know. This world is all that they have. But for the children of God, your first test is, how do you see this world that will determine your mental preparedness? What is the nature of your mental preparedness? To see the world as already destroyed, because the certainty of this destruction is there in verse 10. Are you prepared and ready when the Lord returns? Verse 11, verse 12, second test, the heart. First is the mind, right? The mental preparedness, how you see this world. The second, heartfelt holiness, to live a life of holiness constrained by the love of God must be from the heart. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, guarantee, right? What manner of persons ought you to be? How should we then live? Knowing that there's nothing that the world can offer us that is of any value to a child of God, because they are all going to be destroyed. How can we therefore be constrained, right? Be motivated by any of these earthly things? You go to your interview for your job. They will talk about salary. They will talk about all their plans for the company that you hope to join. You know their language. You know their thinking. You know their understanding. You know their perspective. It's all earthly. But for you, you must go there with a totally different mindset and perspective. Eternal value. For you, you know that this company is going to be dissolved. The whole of Singapore is going to be dissolved and destroyed and melt away. There's nothing in it that is good for the child of God. But your inward, heartfelt holiness as a person who is truly born again. And so the Bible uses all holy conversation and godliness. Now, conversation, it basically literally means the middle of a changed life, that is the heart. Why did the King James translators use conversation like speech, like talk? Whereas we know that it describes the conduct of a person, how his life has been turned around. That's the literal meaning, a turnaround life in the midst of it. Because salvation has literally turned our life 180 degrees, isn't it? Where we really see the world with new eyes the moment you are born again in Christ. I hope that is your experience. That you begin to measure yourself not by the abundance of what you possess anymore, but by who you are in Christ. Your walk with Him is now priceless to you. That's why the Bible here begins with all holy conversation. All your behavior and conduct, privately or publicly, at home, at work, in school, in church, they are the same person. One and the same. You will do what is right according to Scripture, regardless. And sometimes it may hurt the person in front of you because the person is not doing, desiring something that is according to Scripture. And then you have to do something that is according to Scripture. That person will not like it. That person will be hurt by you. But you have to do it anyway, according to Scripture, for Jesus' sake. Because you bear His image. You bear His name. You have to protect His name in holiness. When you are holy, His name is holy. When you bear it in holiness. When you are carnal, His name becomes carnal and you bear it in carnality. Then why would someone believe in the Jesus who is just as carnal as himself, a sinner? That's why it's all conversation, holy in every aspect of your life. As a son, as a daughter to your parents. And parents to your children, to your siblings, to your colleagues, to one another in the church. No aspect of your life must not be holy. That's why guard your words, guard your lips, protect one another's spiritual well-being, would you? If someone were to slander and use the Bible study or any group discussion and turn it into a place of gossip and slander, you've got to stop it. You've got to nip it in the bud. You've got to protect one another's spiritual well-being. You've got to protect each other's holy witness and name. Because that must be the most important thing in your life now. How do I ensure that the name of Jesus Christ that I now carry everywhere I go? Because I have already been baptized, telling everyone that I am now a disciple of Christ. and He is my Lord and my Savior. I need to protect that. You know this world is going to be destroyed, and therefore you need to know how to live in a manner that will never be destroyed by fire or melt with fervent heat. Your holiness in Christ is eternal, and that will result in godliness, where the people will see God in your life. Because to be able to see Christ in your life is to see God in your life. That's what Jesus Christ came to tell us when He walked on earth. He who has seen me has seen the Father. That cost Him His life. Was that not what the Sanhedrin Council said to Him? We love all your miracles. We want you to do more, actually. But we want you dead because you blaspheme. What was the blasphemy? He made Himself God. But He is God. You want Jesus to lie to you and say that He's just a prophet? Then that would be a blasphemy. That would be a lie. But by telling them the truth that He is Emmanuel, God standing in the midst of sinful men, as God Himself had already prophesied as early as Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman will come. That means God Himself will come in human form. The seed of a woman means He will take on humanity. And for that, they crucified Him. And so when you are holy in conversation, in your manner of life, in according to Scripture, you become more and more like Christ, which means you become more and more like God, which means you are now more and more godly. And that's why you have godliness. That's the difference between holiness means getting rid of sin, and then you become more like Christ doing all the positive. Right? You have the thou shalt not, you avoid it, that's holiness. And when you break it, you repent. But then when you obey all the positive, or the thou shalt, or the thou shalt, then you will become more and more like God. So combine the two, you will be like Christ. The heartfelt holiness from within. Because you are holy within, and you want to be holy without. Are you like this in the year 2023, dear friend? If you are, you pass the second test. Mental preparedness, you see the world for what it is, and you are always ready to meet the Lord by living in holiness. And this holiness is from within, from your heart. Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of the Lord. Looking for means you anticipate. Come, Lord, come. I'm ready. I'm ready. Very often, our readiness is misery on earth. That is a very, very sad revelation that we send back to heaven. Not because we love to see our Savior face to face, that we want to be with Him in heaven. Not because we want to stand in the presence of God Almighty in glory, that we want the Lord to return. It's because we can't stand our exam that is coming round the corner that you are not prepared for. Or because your work is miserable. There's some miserable experience on earth. You say, Lord, please come now. Lord, I can't take it anymore. You see? And the Lord's reply from heaven would be very simple. If I were to fix all your problems on earth, would you still want to go to heaven? Or you want to remain behind? What will your answer be? That's why it is a very sad truth that we send back to heaven to the Lord to tell Him, Lord, please come soon. My exam, I cannot take it. I don't want to fail. That is not the right reason. Don't you think? Don't you agree? To go to heaven for the Lord to return? A person who is living in holiness will have this deep longing, this looking for, anticipation. Lord, come soon. I'm ready. I want to stop all this battle within my heart against the temptations that causes me to sin. I want that to end, Lord. I just want to be holy as Thou art holy in perfection. Right now, I desire to be holy, but what I know I should do, I keep not doing it. And what I know I should not do, I keep doing it. I want this lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes in my heart to stop completely, Lord. Please, come soon. longing to be perfectly holy in Christ, because you want to be holy within the strong desire, but the practical aspect is you struggle. That's why the Apostle Paul struggled in Romans 7. And that's our struggle too. And once you are in glory, that is, I'm sure, something you will never ever miss. The struggle to be holy and no longer stumble and fall into sin and succumb to temptations, which we still do, tragically. But let it remain only in the inner man. Don't let it come out. The moment you lust in your heart, stop straight away. Repent. Repent immediately and ask the Lord for forgiveness and take every practical step to prevent yourself from falling into that sin again. And the moment you do it again, in time to come, whatever and whenever, repent again. Don't let it come out, so that your visible witness for Christ will not be damaged. That's what the Lord taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. The moment you hate someone, or sorry, angry with someone without just cause, that has already caused us to broken the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And stop it there. Don't let it go further, because once you let it go further, your words are going to betray your anger within. And you're going to sin by your harsh words and by your slander and by your gossip. Or if it is the problem with fornication, adultery, then the moment you lust after a woman in your heart, stop it there too. Don't let it come out. Know that you have already broken the commandment. The Lord knows and you know. And repent right there and then. And that struggle, the moment that the Lord returns, it's over. You stop struggling. The inward holiness and the outward holiness will match permanently forever. But in the meantime, let the inner holiness and the outer holiness match as long as possible, as often as possible. The moment you sin, it doesn't match. You repent, it matches again. You sin again, it doesn't match. You repent, it matches again. But one day, it will be a perfect match. Inward holiness, outward holiness, permanently, eternally. And that's how you evaluate whether you have eternal values in view. Your heartfelt holiness within. You have it? Then you will have this looking and hasting means, Lord, don't delay this earnest desire within, for the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, all the things that the world is used by evil men and the devil to seduce us and to tempt us will be gone. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, because these are the things that causes us to succumb, isn't it? The praises of man based upon all these earthly things. Mammon, all the things of the world. And all these things are gone. The things that the devil and all the evil world would use to seduce God's children will no longer exist when the Lord returns. Do you have this heartfelt holiness whereby you are ever ready for the Lord to return, and you will be very certain, like the Apostle Paul, a crown of righteousness awaits me with my name on it in heaven. And you are living in holiness day by day, moment by moment, through every day. And when the Lord returns, morning, noon or night, it's fine, because you are ever ready. A mental preparedness, seeing the world for what it really is, and a heartfelt holiness, ever ready and prepared to meet the Lord. That's the second test, whether you are living with eternity's values in view. And finally, verse 13 and verse 14, hopeful eternity. Do you have this hope? Seeing the world as one that will be destroyed is good. But then what about where you're going to go? Where your eternal dwelling place would be? You need to keep your eye on your eternal dwelling place, your final eternal home. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, that's why it's a hopeful eternity based upon God's promise, look for new heavens. And this word look means to anticipate new heavens and a new earth, same as the one in Revelation 21. That means this passage wants us to see beyond the millennium into our eternal home, wherein dwelleth righteousness, where only the righteous living a righteous life, where their conversation is always holy, godly. That's our new home. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, do you? The world will be dissolved. You look for holiness within and without, and you long for your eternal home to be with God in heaven, with Christ, with joy, with gladness, not because of the misery on earth, but to see your Savior's face, because you have been living a life that you know without a doubt that He will be pleased with, because it is according to Scripture. Paul had that certainty according to 2 Timothy, right? His final testimony to all of us and to his spiritual son, Timothy. I'm ready to be offered. I finished the race, the course that Jesus has set for me. And there is a crown of righteousness that awaits me. And not for me only, but for all those who long for his return. You know that, right? You know that passage. Long for his return. That means they know in the present on this earth, they are living a life of holiness and godliness according to Scripture without a doubt. That when they see the Lord face to face, the Lord will definitely say to them, welcome home. No maybe, no hopefully, guarantee. Well done and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. This is your eternal home in glory. The righteousness is the hallmark. And you feel so at home because righteousness is already your hallmark on earth. And now you are in heaven where righteousness prevails. Being diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's what righteousness is. Only way that you and I can be without spot and blameless is to be washed by the blood of Christ, to repent of any and every sin that we have committed against God. This is the life with eternity's values in view that is made available to every born-again child of God. The question is, are you and I living it? Three simple tests, and they're all from within. Two persons could be seated in this same sanctuary. One with eternity's values in view, the other, sadly, is not. Both of them may be serving the same ministry, one constrained by the love of the Savior. The other one is constrained by the approval of man to please mom and dad, to please boyfriend, girlfriend, to seek the praises of the leaders for whatever it is. It's temporal. But both of you may be doing the same thing. The one will be found pleasing, the other one will be found wanting. And I'm sure when we reflect upon the year 2023, all of us have to admit that it is a mixture of both, isn't it? A mixture of both. Somehow, we want people to praise us, to say nice things about us. And when they do not come, we feel a little downcast. We feel a little unhappy not to be noticed after we sacrifice so much. And yet there are also times when we serve the Lord truly constrained by His love. The new year, let it be more of the latter and less of the former, isn't it? Let it be more gold, silver, precious stone, and less wood, hay, and stubble. For we know we are not perfect, but we can have more percentage of gold, silver, precious stone in the year 2024 by guarding our heart, by making sure that our mind is mentally prepared to meet the Lord, seeing the world for what it really is. Everything that we do that is not for Christ will be melted away and dissolve. But once it is done for Christ, it will follow you even at the end of your life. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? It will be eternal, because you have eternity's values in front of your eyes as you serve the Lord, constrained by your love for Him. And never forget that this world is not your home. You have a hopeful eternity that is waiting for you, that is characterized by righteousness, which is what characterizes you today. In imperfection, but one day it will be in perfection, where the inner righteousness and the outward righteousness will be one and the same, when this body is replaced by the glorious body when the Lord returns. Is your life lived with eternity's values in view? A question that each and every one of us need to answer before the Lord as we reflect back on the year and look forward to the new year. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, especially during this past year, what my heart's motive had been and what filled my mind when I serve, when I live this past year. O Lord, cleanse and wash me, O Lord, of all my sins, where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life had affected this past year in the things that I have done. Help me renew my love and my zeal and my fervency, that I may never be weary in well-doing. For I know that in time to come, I will reap what I have sown if I faint not. Help me, O Lord, fill me with thy Spirit. Enable me to live for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the year ahead. And where I have failed thee, O Lord, and not given my very best in the past year, forgive me. Teach me step by step, day by day, moment by moment, how I must be mentally prepared to meet thee, knowing that this world will be dissolved one day. And may the heartfelt holiness that is within my heart in Christ Jesus be seen outwardly, teaching me daily to be holy as thou art holy, in speech, in thought, and in deed. And may I never lose sight of my eternal, hopeful dwelling place to be with thee in heaven, in a new heaven and new earth, where righteousness dwell. May this new year truly be a blessed year, where I am able to bear a holy witness and be a blessing for my Savior and to the people of God and for thy glory. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.